Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Welcome to the Amazing Grace broadcast. It is with great joy that we introduce our speaker, Pastor Harold Carman. Pastor Carman has been teaching and preaching the Word of God for 54 years. He is a graduate of Cumberland University in Lebanon, Tennessee, and the Evangelical Institute of Greenville, South Carolina. He has served as pastor, evangelist, and foreign missionary, ministering the Word of God to seven nations. And today, he is here to speak to you. Please welcome Pastor Harold Carman.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Harold Carman, coming to you from the hills of Tennessee. This is the Amazing Grace broadcast. My website is www.agbnow.com. Once again, that's www.agbnow.com. I've come to speak to you about the great and good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is great and good news because God demands perfect righteousness, yes, perfect holiness, of anyone who would have a relationship with Him now in time, and that would dwell with Him forever in eternity in heaven. But the Bible says, God's holy word tells us that there are none good, no, not one. All have sinned, all are dying, all are doomed to the eternal flames of hell. Man is helpless, man is hopeless. But wait. But God sent His Son, Jesus, to live a sinless life, a perfect life, and then to give Himself as our substitute by crucifixion on a cross. His death paid our sin debt in full. His blood cleanses us from all of our sin. And 3 days after His burial, He rose from the dead. And today, for those that believe in Him, He ever lives to indwell them and intercede before His Father's throne for them. His perfect righteousness is given to them as a robe, and He treats them just as if they have never sinned. That's the great and the good news. Your sins can be forgiven. Your hell can be subdued, and you can have peace with heaven, and it's all by and through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to read to you today from God's Word, the Holy Bible, in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 4 through 30. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus Himself did not baptize, but only His disciples, He left Judea and departed again for Galilee. He had to pass through Samaria, so He came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, wearied as He was from the journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour, that's noonday. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water." The woman said to Him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it Himself, as did His sons and His livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up into eternal life." The woman said to Him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, You are right in saying, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one that you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship. Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Just then the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, What do you seek, or why are you talking with her? So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, Come see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And they went out of town and were coming to him. Coming to Christ is turning and trusting and telling. And when you turn and trust and tell, there is an abrupt change in your life. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, and he said to all, If any one would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself is to say no to yourself, to forget yourself, and then take up the cross, which means to die to yourself, and follow me. This is an abrupt change. And we find in Luke 14:25-27, And now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and his mother and his wife and his children and brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then we read down in verse 33 of the same chapter, So therefore, if any one of you does not renounce all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. And Jesus went on to say, verse 34, Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is of no use either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown away. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You see, this is an abrupt change. Those of us who love our wives and our children and our mother and our father, to be told that that love has to become secondary, that the love for Jesus has to be preeminent. That's an abrupt change. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. It reads, Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So the Christian is a new creation, an abrupt change. So this abrupt and amazing change leads to a new behavior. The woman left her jar. She had never been to this well and left her jar. She came to the well with the jar to get the water, and with that jug full of water, that jar, she was going back home to keep her responsibilities in the household. The jar represented her life before Christ, her life before the living water, her life before eternal life. She left her jar. Have you left your jar? The jar of trying to save yourself? Have you left your jar, the jar of drinking from the mud-filled puddle holes of dirty and dangerous water? Have you left your jar, the jar of mud-filled puddle holes of possessions, positions, and pleasures? The jar of mud-filled puddle holes of impurity, immorality, and adultery? The jar of mud-filled puddle holes of fear, anger, and hatred? The jar of mud-filled puddle holes of drugs and alcohol? The jars of mud-filled puddle holes of delusion, depression, and despair? Have you left your jar? Have you left your jar? Leaving your jar is the evidence that you have the living water, that you have eternal life. Eternal life causes and enables us to begin a lifelong process of repentance, a lifelong process of turning. It begins the moment we come to Christ and continues until we see Him face to face. We turn from our sin the day we come to Christ, and we keep turning during all of our life as He shows us things that displease Him. The woman turned from sin, her mud-filled puddle holes. The evidence of that was she left her jar that belonged to the man she was living in sin with. With great excitement, she goes back to Sychar. She's not hiding from the people anymore. She's not troubled by their slanderous whispers or their piercing stares. No. All she wants to do is to tell them about the man. The man who told her all that she'd ever done. So the woman left a water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come see a man who has told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of town and were coming to him. This ordinary day turned out to be an extraordinary, amazing, and miraculous day. She was going to do what she did every day. She went every day to get water. She didn't go with the other women early in the morning. She went at noon during the hot time of the day because she wanted to avoid them and their criticisms, their stares, and their words. But this was not an ordinary day. It turned out to be extraordinary, amazing, miraculous. She had no idea that she had a divine appointment with God's Son, the Messiah, the Christ. And on this day, today, you have a divine appointment. Jesus is coming to you through this message to give you the water of life, to give you eternal life. Will you come to Him today? Will you come? Will you come, please? Please come today. Come now. How can I come, Pastor Carmen? Well, in Romans 10 and 13, it tells us, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord in prayer will be saved." He's just waiting for you to ask Him. He's waiting for you to ask Him. So what do you say? How do you pray? Well, that's between you and Him. But I will make this suggestion to you. Pray this right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Please forgive me of my sins. I surrender to you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving me and thank you for receiving me. I will live the rest of my life for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope the program has been a blessing to you, and we'd love to give you a free gift. If you email us, we'll send you an email devotional to encourage you in your walk with Jesus. For your free copy, please email us at agbnow1@gmail.com. That's agbnow1@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.